This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. 10 years ago, the word sexting did not exist. But, of course, it has been in the news quite a bit in the last several years. After all, we had a guy who had to resign from Congress because he was sexting pictures of his junk to other people and posting things on Twitter that he shouldn't have been. Well, there's a new study out this week about sexting among teenagers, and in particular, college students. The guy who did that survey and has the results for us is a professor and director of Drexel University's JD PhD program in law and psychology, Professor Dave DiMatteo. Dave, welcome to America Weekend.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks for having me.
I know that you had hundreds or maybe even thousands of kids involved in this, all undergrads at a large university in the Northeast. What did you learn?
Well, the focus of our study was on underage sexting. So we were particularly interested in, even though our sample was a college sample, we were interested in whether they engaged in sexting while they were under the age of 18, so when they were legally minors. And we looked at two different types of sexting. We looked at textual message, in other words, sexually explicit wording, and we also looked at photographic images that were sexually explicit. And we found, to our shock, that 54% of our sample, over the half of the sample, admitted to sending sexting messages under the age of 18.
Wow, 54%. Well, that probably has to include a lot of that text stuff, not pictures.
It does, but we also found that 28% of our sample acknowledged sending photographic sexting images.
Holy cow, more than one in four?
That's correct.
Wow. What age did they say that they started doing this activity?
The earliest was 13, and then we asked them to report up until they were the age of 18. The median age was around 14 when they started sending the sexting images, and we found an interesting gender breakdown. When it came to the textual sex messages, there was no difference in the proportion of males and females who sent those. But when it came to the photographic images, so these are semi-nude or nude photographs, the girls in our sample reported sending those types of sexts at twice the rate of the males.
I wonder who was pushing them to take those pictures and send them in the first place, though.
Yeah, it seems that one of the things we wanted to do in our study was find out about the motivations for sexting. That was a gap in the literature.
Yeah.
And we found that in most cases, it appears the sexting took place in the context of an exclusive relationship, typically at the request of the boyfriend who asked the girlfriend to send a sexed message.
You know, I've talked about this before. Every once in a while, we get usually a female star who becomes famous for something in their early 20s or mid-20s. They get into a movie and it goes big and it's a huge blockbuster. And then we find out that there were naked pictures taken of them when they were, you know, modeling or whatever it was when they were 17, 18, or 19. And, oh, I wish those pictures hadn't gotten out there. And I always wanted to, if I could take these people aside, I would say to them, you know, if you don't want the world to see nude pictures of you, don't let somebody take a nude picture of you. But that does not seem to be a message that has gotten through to today's youth.
No, it hasn't at all. And I think part of it is that adolescent vulnerability, that sort of attitude that this is not going to happen to me. Sure, I've heard about these horror stories with these other girls where the pictures have been shared across the school, but I'm sending it to my boyfriend. He wouldn't do that to me.
Yeah, he really loves me. He would never share that with anybody else.
Exactly. And one of the things we asked in our study was, have you experienced negative consequences from sexting? And by and large, the answer was no, although over 70% of our sample reported they were aware of other people who have experienced negative consequences. And what that suggests to us is that the negative consequences are often delayed in this type of a situation. So perhaps while they're in the exclusive relationship, the boyfriend will indeed not share those photos. But what happens when that relationship ends? What happens when the girlfriend breaks his heart? Now, all of a sudden, he's got something on her, which could potentially be very damaging to her reputation, to her social standing, to her psychological functioning. And then, of course, one of the things that we looked at is, were these young people aware that they could potentially be prosecuted for child pornography by sending the photographic images? And two-thirds of our sample were not aware of that.
Yeah, and we're talking about child pornography here, especially with 13- and 14-year-olds.
That's right. And in many jurisdictions, there is not sexting-specific legislation. So when you have an incident involving an underage person and nude photographs, if the prosecutor wants to push that forward and there's not sexting-specific legislation, then it gets pigeonholed into either child endangerment laws or child pornography laws, which, of course, carry very steep penalties.
Now, so are you telling me that some people are punished under child pornography laws just for taking a picture of themselves?
If they share that photograph, then yes, even if it's a picture of themselves, which is obviously consensual because it's their own body, and they send that out, they could potentially be prosecuted under child pornography laws.
In your survey of these college students about their underage sexting habits, did they talk about or did you ask them about whether they had been told some of the consequences?
We asked them specifically if they were aware that it was illegal in their jurisdiction, and two-thirds were not aware of it. And what was even more surprising was one-third of the sample said that even had they been aware that it was illegal, it would not have decreased their sexting practices.
One of my producers on this show says that she went to, when she was in high school, there was a group of guys there who used to ask girls for pictures and then would base it on a point system, who would get the most or go the furthest, and they were rating them on kind of the same scale as hot or not, the website. And there have been websites that have also been full of all sorts of revenge porn, and there have been laws trying to limit that. But again, it all starts with somebody taking that first photo, doesn't it?
It does. That's what it starts with. And unfortunately, the laws in most jurisdictions have just not caught up with this technology. And so the law seems to be, in many jurisdictions, a step behind. It's not prepared to deal with these situations. And fortunately, those situations seem to be relatively rare, although we don't know that. The study we did is we view it as another step in the scientific process of trying to understand sexting a little bit better. And unfortunately, this is not going to go away. As technology increases, as new types of technologies are developed, there's no reason to think that sexting behavior is going to decrease.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you, because you said that the majority of these kids, I think you said 3 out of 4 kids, or almost 3 out of 4 kids, reported knowing other teens who experienced negative consequences. And some of these kids, you know, a minority of them, but some of these kids have been prosecuted under pretty harsh laws. Do we even need laws to control this kind of behavior if what the kids already know is wrong is still going on?
Well, that's a great question. And I think that as a society, we need to figure out how we want to approach this sexting. On the one hand, we can view it as relatively normal sexual exploration that's been taking place since time immemorial. On the other hand, when it involves non-consensual photographs or the sharing of private photographs, then it does seem to cross a line. And we found that two-thirds of our study participants reported that had they known it was illegal, then that might have decreased their likelihood of engaging in sexting. So that does suggest that legislation could potentially be effective.
In your survey, did you run across any girls or boys, for that matter, who had gotten in trouble for sexting but had still done it again with another partner later on?
It was difficult for us to tell from our data. We didn't anticipate that happening, but certainly I think there's reason to believe that it did. We did ask about untoward consequences from sexting, and even though a small proportion of our sample acknowledged it, there is some evidence that those people continue to engage in sexting.
But you probably also asked them, how many different partners have you sexted with, and what were the numbers on that?
We did. We found out that the average was about 1.8, but that's a bit misleading, as averages can be, and there was quite a range. And some people had reported sending sexual images or sexually explicit text to many people, and that, of course, is very alarming.
Very interesting. Dave, thanks so much for joining me here today.
My pleasure, Paul. I appreciate it.
Dave DiMatteo is a professor and director of Drexel University's JD PhD program in law and psychology. I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.
Paul Harris. Oh.